It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode, Kiss of Death Podcast. My name's Mike Brown. As we do after every single Houston Rockets game, no matter how heartbreaking, preseason, regular season, postseason, we at the Kiss of Death here to talk Rockets basketball. It's 11:06 p.m., so I am going to let y'all know we're not going to go too terribly long tonight. We have another West Coast game tomorrow night. And I've got the show tomorrow and work tomorrow as well. So we're going to break down Houston Rockets basketball, I would say, for 20-ish minutes. So thank you all for spending time with us. If you're live here on Facebook or Twitter, thank you all so much. Let's get right to it. Rockets lose their second in a row. They lose 105-104 to the Los Angeles Lakers. And here comes my co-host, Jeremy Brenner. Jeremy, this is a surprise.
Yeah, I have to talk this loss out.
Yeah, so Rockets lose tonight, 105-104. It's so funny, Jeremy, because they played their hearts out. The Rockets, I loved so much of what I saw tonight from the Rockets in so many areas. You know, I thought they played so well. I hate LeBron James. Like, he's taken the spot. Like, he's taken Alex Caruso's spot. He's the second greatest ever. He will never be better than Jordan. But the way he goes about the game, he's such a whiny little, you know what, dude. Like, it's nauseating to watch him play basketball at this point.
I don't know. I don't necessarily feel the same way. But
yeah, no, it's okay.
It's very easy to say that after a game like that.
Trevor, I see you in the comments. We won't post that, but I hear you.
Yes. But yeah, I mean, look, I'll say this, like, the fact that LeBron, you know, is who he is, and, you know, you're going to get that. And I thought, okay, can we talk about the Austin Reeves shot? Because I feel like that's,
oh,
like,
my God, this game. Yeah.
Clutch for Austin Reeves, sure. But you saw on that play, right? LeBron has the ball. And I believe it's Jabari guarding him. There was a couple switches in there. I think it went from Dylan to – and then Dylan went over the screen. And then Jabari – he eventually switched with Jabari. He wasn't comfortable switching with, I think, anyone else but Jabari on that play. Mm-hmm. I forget who he – like, I think it was Şengün who was originally on him. Or the screen was coming so that they could get the mismatch with Şengün on the perimeter. But regardless of that, Jabari has it, and you can see that Dylan's coming over to double team LeBron. Mm-hmm. And LeBron finds Reeves, and look, honestly, like,
it was a monster shot. Like, congrats to Austin Reeves.
Yeah, you know, I feel like with that, you kind of just have to let it go, kind of like how the Rockets lost on Friday, you know, with James Harden, of course. And you know, it's two very similar losses, both here in LA. And it's unfortunate. But again, Mike, like you said, you know, They're not like losses like they've been in years past. You know, this is a I hate to use the word quality loss because that's not what this is. There's no such thing as quality losses in the NBA, but this isn't – I use the term on Friday's show. Go check it out if you haven't done so already. But this isn't a the sky is falling loss.
No, not at all. I will say this. I think one big thing that came out of tonight, the Rockets have a problem in Jock Landale. Because Jock Landale right now, Jeremy, for lack of a better term, sucks. Like, he's not any good right now. It's still early, but man, does he.
That's what I would say.
He just looks. Still early. He looks lost. What I love about Dylan Brooks, and by the way, Dylan Brooks, as advertised, I love that dude. I love everything about that guy. When you have guys like him, Fred Van Fleet, Jay Sean Tate, Tari Eason, all of those guys play so hard that when somebody's not playing hard, like a Jock Landale, it sticks out like a sore thumb. And the problem is that he's your primary backup. He's almost unplayable at this point, especially with the way Jeff Green's playing. And that's the reason why Jock only played 4 minutes tonight, and he was a minus six because he was awful.
Well, that's the thing, and that's kind of what makes it like not really much of an issue, in my opinion. He barely played to begin with. And Jeff Green playing as well as he has to start the season, that certainly was not on my bingo card necessarily. But the fact that he's able to be this productive for the Rockets' second unit does mean that Landale doesn't necessarily have to play as strong of a role or as prominent of a role is probably a better word for it. But, I think at this point, like, the Rockets, they have they've gone beyond our expectations that we had for them up until this point. So I feel like with Jock Landale, we're kind of just like, you know, getting like real nitpicky here because it is still early. And I think it's, you know, he hasn't played consistently. You know, he's been hurt. He's gotten nights where he only plays a few minutes like he did tonight. And look, the Lakers aren't that big of a team to begin with. So you really don't need to play a guy like Jock Landale all that much. You can get away with playing Jeff Green at the five. You can get away with some of these smaller lineups that they are comprising, Jabari at the five, you know, those kinds of lineups. And, you know, I feel like more teams are larger than the Lakers and the Warriors tomorrow night, another smaller team. You know, Jock Landale probably won't play a whole lot tomorrow night either, if I'm being honest, because that team is just like they play small five. So you don't need like a traditional center like Jock Landale in there. And, you know, when you get to the playoffs, you're going to want to have a team that you're going to want to have somebody on the roster that you can go to if you need a guy like a true backup center, because you may run into lineups, but like if I'm playing like Dallas, I want someone that can be able to defend the pick and roll that Luka Doncic and Derek Lively are going to have, right? Or something like that. Or someone like, you know, like I'm trying to think, like that's one just very specific example. But again, it's still really early with Jock Landale. I give him a bit of a pass just because he was hurt and he was hurt during, you know, training camp as well. But there, you know, that's like one of the small issues with the team right now, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think I bring that up because there's a guy in Atlanta that I would go get in about 5 seconds to be my backup five, and that's Clint Capella. If you can get Clint Capella, and I bring up the backup five just like you said, because you're going to need him. I love Jeff Green, but asking him to play 70 games at 20, he played 14 minutes tonight, but he's playing a decent amount already. You're already thin once Şengün is off the court. And by the way, Alperen Şengün balling right now.
Absolutely.
Just
I told you, Mike, all of this time.
And you know what's funny, Jeremy?
This was the vision.
But you know,
you see the vision, you like the vision.
But you know, it's so funny. And now that you and I are on the same show now, you got to admit, I never said that I hated Şengün. Ever.
And I never always said that either.
No, I know. I'm just like, so many people have at my DMs, my mentions of, you said Shane Goon sucks. I'm like, no, I never said that.
You did want Brook Lopez.
I did want Brook Lopez. Oh, 100%. Absolutely. Listen, absolutely. But I was the first one to admit, once he improved defensively, because I was always there with him offensively. But tonight, that one play that he had on AD to get AD fouled out of the game, he's not making that play last year. He doesn't have that ability last year to slide his feet and have the wherewithal to foul.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end,
what will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
I'll AD out in that moment. I mean, I give the guy all of the roses, all the flowers. I'm happy he's here. Dude is playing at an incredible level.
I think, and this is not to knock Sengun or anything like that, because people who have listened to the show know how I feel about Sengun and know how I've felt since day one. But anyway, the Lakers had a challenge. They probably won that challenge. That I don't think was a charge. But, you know, if Sengun's not in that position to make the referee call the call.
Absolutely.
Then, yeah, so it's smart for him. You know, they'll look back at that in film and say, hey, like, you know, Monday morning quarterback that, you know, it's probably a foul, but it wasn't called a foul. So, you know, it's putting yourselves in that position. Also, just offensively, the fact that Udoka went with the same exact play on the last two offensive possessions for the Rockets before the missed three at the end to get within one and tie the game, the fact that they were able to be down three and have the confidence and the trust to go with Sengun on the two, I thought that was very nice. And the fact that they were able to do that, and the fact that he was able to out-bully LeBron for that tying bucket in clutch time, like, that is not what I was expecting out of year three Sengun. That's honestly what I was expecting out of prime Sengun. And I don't think we're there yet, Mike. That's what's scary about Sengun right now is the fact that he's playing at a very high level, and I'm super excited about that. But this is like 21-year-old Alperen Sengun. Imagine what this man is going to be like 4 years from now, and then another 4 years from now. Like, we're only getting the tip of the iceberg, and I'm so excited for what's to come. Like, the Rockets are like Sengun's my guy. Like, how, like, I'm almost getting to the point where it's like when James Harden was here in Houston, like, James is my guy. Like, James is the guy I will go to the ends of the depths of the earth to defend that man. I'm starting to feel that way about Alperen Sengun right now.
Come on, no.
I will defend that man to the end of the earth.
Okay. Well, how about you let him be a part of a winning
season? I see, like, bright lights.
How about you let him be a part of a winning season before you put him on the same plane as James?
Well, the Rockets are 6-5 right now. Well, that's true. So I'm talking about this current winning season that we've got. Yeah. Like, at this point, if he plays like this for another month or two, an all-star berth is totally not out of the question.
Very much so. Very much
so. This year, like, Alperen Sengun on your all-star team this year, was that on your bingo card? It wasn't on mine. And if it wasn't on mine, it definitely wasn't on yours, Mike. Because I am the Alperen Sengun president of the fan club. I'm the president of the Alperen Sengun fan club.
I'm a member.
I elected myself super purely democratic process. But I did not have Alperen Sengun as an all-star this year. But he's playing like that. And I'm so excited for what's to come. It's amazing how, like, just one small change of the coaching staff has opened up so many different things to the Rockets.
Well, a fairly big change to the coaching staff, albeit, yes, an individual, not only him, man, Splitter, I think, has been – I know we touched on that a couple weeks ago.
Tiago Split, yeah.
Tiago Splitter has been big for him. I'll tell you what, Jalen Green was not good tonight. I think, Jeremy, first of all, yes, I agree with you that nitpicking at Landale – is small. I love what I've seen thus far this season. That's why, like, even tonight, I agree with you. I think it's a quality loss. But this team is not won on the road yet. And I, in my opinion, tomorrow is a very big game. Tomorrow or today for you, because you're on the East Coast, so it's game day.
It's 12:20 a.m.
It's game day for you already again.
Yes.
I think this game against the Warriors tomorrow, especially without Draymond, I think it's a really big game for the Rockets this early in the year. Mm-hmm. I think it's the biggest game of the year thus far. I know it'll be game 12, but this is the most important game for the Rockets because they have got –
anytime the Warriors are on the schedule is an important game.
Absolutely, but they need to salvage this road trip. I know it's a three-game road trip, and then the Rockets come home and they play Wednesday against Memphis.
They play Memphis on Wednesday and then Denver on Friday.
Yeah. These are – and they get Thanksgiving off, thankfully.
Well, everyone gets Thanksgiving off.
Well, that
is – unlike the NFL.
Oh, I can't wait. By the way,
the Thanksgiving – but look, if Thanksgiving didn't belong in the NFL, the NBA would for sure start taking it.
Yeah, and we'll wrap the show up in a bit talking about – I got some rapid-fire Thanksgiving questions for you. Right. But I think this game tomorrow, biggest game of the year.
Yeah, I would agree with that to an extent. I get what you're saying. I agree a lot with what you're saying based on, you know, let's get something out of this road trip. You know, we were close on Friday to winning. We were close on Sunday to winning, and we come up short. And, you know, we're starting to feel a little bit down. But if they can go into Golden State tomorrow night, get a big win, and a game that they're not projected to win by betting odds, what all that. But yeah, it would do a lot for the confidence of the team, especially considering the fact that they lost at home already this season to the Warriors. Another go at the same team could give this team a lot of confidence going forward. Hopefully Dylan Brooks still hot. Hopefully, you know, Fred's still hot. Mm. You know, hopefully those guys, like, we don't get cold as we go up north. That's just what we got to hope. And then when it comes to Jalen Green, Mike, I want to lead you in a prayer, all right? I'm gonna say something, and then you're going to repeat it, okay?
Okay, yes.
Yeah. Jalen.
Jalen.
Will.
Will.
Be.
Be.
Just.
Just.
Fine.
Fine. There you go. Amen.
Prayer.
Amen.
Amen. We're thankful for Jalen Green.
We are. We absolutely are. We're
thankful for all of our Rockets on the podcast.
And I also think that he's struggling a little bit with finding his way with all these new pieces that he's playing with. And it, especially, I think, the furthering role for Şengün, because it's pretty clear at this point, the offense runs through Alper and Şengün on multiple levels. It's no longer Jalen. I think so,
Jalen
too.
Will get there. There's a learning curve with him. Yeah. And, yes, like, his role last year is very different than his role this year. Yeah. And he's – and the thing is, like, I do think the guys that he's playing with this year, Fred, Dylan, Şengün even, Jeff Green, these are guys that complement Jalen really well. So that's really all that it is. It's not for lack of effort, we'll say that.
And I mean, the difference in the game tonight, listen, I mean, the Lakers turned it over 17 times. The Rockets turned it over 18 times. It's going to be
It's going to be
difficult.
Battle.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult for the Rockets to beat anybody. Nonetheless, the second greatest player to ever play 100%. The game of basketball by turning it over 18 times. And Rockets shot 14 of 37 from the three-point line tonight, 37.8%. I'll take that.
If you're going against Stephen Curry tomorrow, you got to be shooting like that against Curry.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Rockets play again tomorrow night. We'll be live for that. I will be. Jeremy, I don't know if you will be. But once again,
probably
Rockets,
know tomorrow night. But yeah,
well,
we'll see.
I got you covered. 105.
I'll tell you what. If Alper and Şengün hits a game winner from half court, I will definitely be there.
All right. So to wrap this up,
that has to happen.
I got you.
No other players, just Alper and Şengün, and it can't be from – if it's from like 5 feet above the three-point line, no, it's got to be half quarter or better.
Deal. Rapid-fire Thanksgiving questions. This is my favorite holiday on Thursday. Your favorite Thanksgiving side and your least favorite Thanksgiving side?
I'm a big mac and cheese guy.
Ooh, bacon or no bacon?
Always. No bacon. I'm Mike. I'm a good Jew. Remember?
Wow. Okay. Well, All right, so flavorless mac and cheese with no bacon, okay. Least favorite?
We never said nothing about flavor. We just said no bacon.
I got you. I hear you.
Hey, props to anyone who wants bacon. Nothing wrong with that.
I do. All
right.
Least favorite side?
Least favorite side? Bacon. No, I'm just kidding.
Just a big side of bacon on the Thanksgiving table.
That's a tough one. I'm a big side guy. I'm not a big turkey guy. I'll take four sides over a turkey any day.
You're out of your mind.
So can turkey be the answer?
No.
I don't go to Thanksgiving dinner for the turkey.
Oi, okay. Yeah, you know what? Fine. You know what? It's acceptable. Your least favorite side is the turkey. No.
Yes.
Dude, I'm a big green bean casserole guy. Like, the older I've gotten, I hated it when I was a kid. And then I grew up, and I was like, oh, my God, I love all of the components of this. This thing is delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Big mashed potatoes guy. White gravy or brown gravy on your mashed potatoes?
Probably white gravy. Okay. But I'm not a huge gravy guy either way.
Now, Jeremy Burr, here's the real question. What time is the meal being eaten at your Thanksgiving meal? Because this is controversy in some homes. Some people are dead fast. Like, they will only have it at a certain time. Where do you
You're telling me, Mike. You're telling me. No, because it's funny. Because, like, this year we're having an argument over the time.
Ooh, okay. So what do you, if ideal time for you?
So usually what my family does is we eat around somewhere between the window of like 4 and 5 o'clock.
Okay.
Usually by halftime of the Cowboys game is like when we kind of like things start kind of getting ready and stuff.
Okay.
There's a problem though. So I'm a freelance writer for those who don't know. And I cover not just, you know, the Rockets and the NBA. I also cover some NFL. And one of the primary teams that I've been covering over the last couple of years is Washington. And Washington is playing Dallas on Thursday. So I asked my family if we could move back the time to eat after the game, like around 7 o'clock.
Ooh.
I was thinking this was going to be fine, like not a huge deal. Mm-mm. No.
Didn't go
this
well.
This was a huge deal. So, like,
well, of course.
This is like real world's crossing paths and stuff. Yeah.
I'm just telling you, you can't have a Thanksgiving meal at 7. You can't do it. 7 is the time for like the second meal. Now,
you can have like sides and rolls and crudite throughout the day, and then you can get to your 7 o'clock.
That's not me. I save up for the meal. I don't do the charcuterie board at like 1:30. I don't take part in that. I'm here for the main meal. Give it to me. And then, oh, God, then you got to talk about the leftovers the next day. I almost think the Thanksgiving leftovers the next day could potentially be better than the meal the first day.
Have you ever thought about doing, like, Thanksgiving meal? Because the original Thanksgiving was, like, several days long.
Oh.
Right?
Blessed.
So they have food for multiple days.
Blessed.
So have you ever thought about having Thanksgiving meal on Wednesday so that your Thanksgiving meal on the Thursday – is leftovers?
No, never. I'm a Thanksgiving traditionalist. No, because
you're a traditionalist.
Well, here's the thing.
You're a traditionalist.
I wake up Thanksgiving morning. I watch Die Hard because on Thanksgiving Day, that's the first day of the year.
Die Hard is a Thanksgiving movie.
No, it's not. It's socially acceptable to watch Christmas movies. So I watch Die Hard in the morning, leading into football, the meal at 2 o'clock, leading into then the post meal nap, leading then into the night games, and then you have the second meal, and then the third meal is the next day with the leftovers. Very regimented.
Yeah.
Very regimented. I think this is a decent place to park the rocket ship. It is almost 11:30 here, Central Time, and we're going to be back tomorrow night. Jeremy, Rockets lose tonight, 105.
Thanks for reminding me.
104.
I was having a good time. Now I'm in a bad mood again. Thank
you. Now we're all depressed again. Once again, Rockets play tomorrow night. What time is that game tomorrow night? Is it 9 o'clock Central?
I think it's
time?
9 o'clock Central, 10 o'clock on the East Coast, and 7 o'clock on the West Coast.
Lord have mercy. No, 7 o'clock on the West Coast.
7 o'clock on the West Coast. Yes.
Oh, I thought you said 11.
No. 11 like
I'm starting to hear it. I'm an hour ahead of me. Yeah, I'm starting to hear things. If you're on Twitter, make sure to follow the Kiss of Death podcast at Rockets FFSN. Follow my very talented co-pilot, Jeremy Brenner, at
Jeremy Brenner, JeremyBrenner. You can follow my co-pilot, equally as talented, Michael Brown, on Twitter at
MikeBrown_2020. We will talk to you tomorrow night, Rockets fans. And until then, go Rockets.